When you're talking about dollar support match, are you talking about hard funds? Can it be volunteer? You want the dollar. You know, a lot of people get such. You follow?
No, yeah.
Your permission, I'd like to start. We have a lot we'd like to cover today. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of the October 1 meeting, which have been mailed to you. Are there any corrections that any of you had to those minutes? We have heard none by telephone or correspondence. If not, may I have a motion to approve them?
I'll move it.
Been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. I'd like to go into, again, the trend model, but this time, since most of the members of the commission have had three or four exposures to this at various times, I'd like to assume that all of you have now had at least an opportunity to skim the trend model in detail. As you know, it's been presented for discussion in concept form to the commission at its last meeting, the minutes of which you just approved. At that meeting, we recognized as guidelines the statistical breakdown of income for the arts system as a system as a whole, which consisted of approximately 47% earned income, 8% organizational support, which then combined at the 55% for those two categories, 25% private sector support, and 20% public sector support. Those are based upon the actual statistical figures that we have for the 3 years in the historic study of the model and carried forward. We discussed in detail the last time the variations that occur from that. Specifically, earned income obviously varies tremendously from a performing arts organization such as a theater and a visual arts organization such as a museum. But as a system as a whole, all the arts organizations in Minnesota, every single one of them, based on the model, the figures broke down in general terms on that basis, and that gave us a handle for further discussion and analyzing the responsibilities of both the public sector and the private sector. Subsequent to that analysis, and you now have the full documentation in front of you, Jimmy produced a memorandum for the public sector subcommittee, which met last Friday. Basic premise in that subcommittee report was approved and brought forward today to the full commission for your consideration. But I'd like Jimmy to spend just a couple of minutes bringing you up to date on those conclusions. Jim?
Mr. Chairman, could I just ask a very basic question here to make sure I haven't got lost on something? On the draft outline for the total report, item two is major findings and recommendations of the commission. Am I correct that those have not yet been drafted?
That's correct.
I haven't missed that.
No, you have not.
Okay.
Have not.
So we're still working up to that.
We're getting to a couple of those right now.
Okay. I wanted to be sure of that.
No, you have not missed the main point.
Before I get into the public sector memorandum, I'd like to make one correction. On page 71, there's a typographical error. The 1979 line in the first column should read $6,547,000 rather than $5,547,000.
In the big trend model,
page 71 of that.
All of you have the big trend model in your mail. Don't have a copy of the one right here up in front, which is
the figure again.
Should be $6,547,000 instead of $5,547,000 in the 1979 line. This is a typo.
Sure.
It doesn't. Well, I can
check. It should be 6 million.
It should be 6. Just a typographical error.
Okay.
Everybody has copies of the public sector memorandum?
Yes. It's one dated October 12. The point of the memo Jimmy will be speaking to is dated October 12th, which I handed out coming in.
It's called Public Sector Subcommittee at the top. The Public Sector Subcommittee.
The short one, Phil.
The point of this memorandum is an attempt to get a bottom line for the state contributions through 1984, what the dollar value would look like. To briefly review, the public sector in the meeting of October 1st was set at 20%. Public sector support of total expenditures through 1984 as a standard to be met. From that 20%, you have three kinds of income: federal income, income from federal sources, primarily National Endowment for the Arts, local income, income from municipal and county governments, and state income, income from state government, state agencies of various kinds, primarily the State Arts Board. This memorandum attempts to break down the local and public and the state share out of the total 20%. So the first thing that has to be done is that federal portion, the federal contribution of the 20%, has to be taken out of it. Now, that's a since we don't, as a commission and the state, have any control over what the federal government does, we have to look at what's currently going on in the federal government and then subtract that from the 20% of the total. And that's done by, in table 48 of that memorandum, which is page 3 of the memorandum. Total public sector need in dollars, if it's 20% through 1984, is in the first column. The projected federal contribution part of that is in the second column. That's done by taking their current 1975 appropriation, converting it to constant dollars, running the constant dollars through 1984, looking at the inflation rates of the trend model and multiplying those inflation rates back on top of the constant dollars so that it increases simply because of inflation through 1984. And that's subtracted from total public sector need, the 20%, and you get the state and local share in the last column of that table. Now that's what the state and local governments ought to do to support Minnesota arts organizations, and we're only talking about the nonprofit arts organizations here.
That's simply being consistent with what the statistics have shown us has been the evolving trend. That is not making a major public policy decision to inject more money in, to inject less money in, to focus the money that goes in. It's simply the missing component on a statistical basis. Okay, go ahead.
It runs a little bit ahead of where it would be, but it's, yeah, that's what, the 20% is just a statistical conclusion. Okay, the next problem is to break the state and local share down into local and into state. And if you go back to table A, that task is accomplished there. Local support, you really have to consider two categories. One is the local support that comes from Hennepin and Ramsey County, which is the major portion of all local support. And the rest is local support from other sources. Now the Hennepin and Ramsey County dollars, given our understanding of those systems that are based on mill levies and the like, and given our understanding of the political systems that they contribute this money, we think that this is about the limit that they'll run to. And this is, again, extended by inflation out to 1984. It's their 1975 contribution converted into constant dollars, projected to 1984, and translated back into real dollars as the inflation rate affects the consumer price index. Now, all other local sources is a subtraction of, all other local sources is a projection of the current 1975 value. But in this case, it's not extended simply for inflation. It's also, growth is precisely the same as would occur for the arts organization. So that the arts organizations will grow in constant dollars by about 12% between 1975 and 1978. Well, we expect all of the local sources to also grow by about 12% in constant dollars between 1975 and 1978. And we do that because although the local sources that are currently contributing might not increase their contributions in the same sense that Hennepin and Ramsey won't, we do expect additional local sources to come into the income pattern between now and 1978. And that's why it's extended in that way rather than just by inflation. Then it's those constant dollars are translated back into actual dollars and you get the numbers of column 2 for the all of the local sources column. You add those two together and you get total local support through 1984 in the third column of table A. Now, the $2,122,000 in 1977 is roughly 40% of the total 20% that the public sector is supposed to supply as income to meet expenditures through 1984. 1977 is roughly 40%. Now by 1984, if you take the projections of that third column, total local support in table A, it would be somewhat less than 40%. It would be like 35%. At the meeting on Friday, at the public sector, private sector subcommittee meeting on Friday, we discussed setting a standard of 40%, taking local support as a standard, and saying that, okay, total income to meet expenditures should be 20% from the public sector. Of this 20%, 40% of that money should come from local sources. Now, that's not what we expect to happen by 1984. That's a recommendation, sort of standard for the industry. What we expect to happen by 1984 is that $3,093,000 is the bottom right-hand figure in Table A. That's what we expect. Something local is going to have to do more than we expect to meet the 40% criteria by 1984.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
But when you're saying local 40%.
Right. 40% of the 20%. It's actually 8% of the total income.
You mean 40% of the total 20% public sector?
Which will make it 8% of total income. That's right.
I see. How much percent is the federal at?
Well, the federal government, the percentage would run considerably less than that. It would run, let's see if I can get some idea here. I didn't add up the percentages.
The problem
about 30, a little less than 30, about 28%, 29%.
The problem with the federal government, from the work that Jimmy has done, is in checking with Washington, and maybe I will let Jim tell exactly how he talked, who he talked to, and how he got to that basis. The best analysis, the best conclusion we could come to with regard to federal expenditure was that it rose very rapidly for the National Endowment of the Arts, that it appears from everything that we can gain from people we can talk to be at a level where it's going to plateau. And the National Endowment will be fighting very hard for the next few years to support itself with nothing more than an inflation factor on their current base of income. To try and keep these figures as conservative as we could possibly be consistently through the system, we've tried not to be optimistic on any particular source, but rather err on the side of having understated what'll happen than overstate and create a further problem a few years down the line. Therefore, the model shows national endowment funding at approximately the same level with nothing more than an inflation factor added to the dollar base. When you carry that through to an inflation factor on the entire system, those dollars are going to be declining in terms of a percentage of the total system, even though the dollar amounts are going to come in at more each year. And therefore, the percentage of federal participation in the state budget or in public sector funding in Minnesota and everywhere else in the country will be declining rather than growth increasing.
But as Jimmy said, or you said, we're here in Minnesota, we really can't do very much about how much the federal fellows choose to give us.
That's correct.
But what I didn't quite get is what rationale are you using to decide how much should be the local share and how much the state share?
Well, we're subtracting the rationale for the 20% total public support is based on both the current direction that the arts are going in and looking at what's happening in other states across the nation.
Yeah, I understand the 20%.
40%.
Okay.
Also, considerable discussion in Friday. Yeah.
We can count on a certain number of dollars from the federal government, and in talking to people at NEA and talking about the appropriation process, we think that they think they can at least keep up with the rate of inflation. That's what they're going for that's what they went for in their 76 appropriation. That's what they're going for in the future. They didn't make it in the 76 appropriation, but they expect to in the future to keep up with the consumer price index. So that's just an expectation about what we can expect to come into our organization. So you just take that out of the 20%, just back it out of the 20% of the public sector support. And then you have a certain dollar amount left over, which is the state local share. Well, then you look at what the local governments are currently doing, and they're currently doing 55%. In 1975, of all public sector support, 55% of it came from local government sources. Now, in 1977, given our projection about meeting expenditure, that's of course with a deficit and a lot of other things, but given our projections about what it would take to meet expenditures and what we expect the local governments to do in 1977, it would only be 40%. Because we don't expect Hennepin and Ramsey County to go up any more than inflation. It would simply be 40%. And we're meeting expenditures rather than meeting income in that sense too. So that we get a 40% figure in roughly 1977. Well, it's hard to say that you ought to take the projection out, project that need out into the future, and just forget about local governments, because as I understand the state legislature in Minnesota, what the local governments do to a certain extent is influenced by the local governments being creatures of the state, influenced by the state government. If we're speaking about Minnesota State Arts, I think we ought to talk about standards both for local contributions and for state contributions.
Let me interject just for a minute. What the 40% figure represents is our best estimate of what actual local funding will be in 1977. And we've done nothing more than in the model then carry that figure forward and say it looks like it's going to be 40% in 1977. Project that as the local share in the model for years thereafter. And therefore, if the system is going to be growing, assume that in some fashion the local share will grow to remain at its 40% factor. To assume otherwise would mean to make the assumption that the local role is going to decline progressively year after year and be picked up in some fashion by the state. We think that's a distortion of the system as much as putting a growth factor on local. All we're saying at the moment is let's assume the entire system is going to grow at an inflation rate. And we've talked about what is actually happening to the arts system. We'll get back to that in a minute. It basically does not appear to be at a stage where it's going to have tremendous internal growth other than dollar growth by inflation. It seems to be leveling off. Assume that the mate and we've identified the stress points in the system of just keeping up with the growth in costs, not assuming any real growth in the system in terms of what the cost will be to the private sector and so on, and that's another major point we'll be coming to this afternoon. But assume that the system grows at nothing more than an inflation factor, and that the self-generated funds will, by some effort, stay at the 55%, that's earned income plus organizational support for the entire system, and assume that the private sector will stabilize at 25%, leaving 20% public sector support. Assume no growth other than inflation, the national endowment, and the money then necessary in the system. Then the question is, how do you divide up the remainder of the public sector support necessary to feed the system? The assumption is that the local public sector support on a system as a whole basis will continue to grow at the rate that the expenditure of the system grows, and no faster. That means that basically it's growing by an inflation factor, just keeping up with the system. And there's a way that the two interact on each other, because if the money doesn't generate, and that's a component of the system's going to grow at a slower rate, one way or another, just as it has to date when the money hasn't been there. So that's why it's simply taking the 40% that's already in place and saying it will continue by one means or another. Then converting the difference after that 40% is taken out and the national funding is taken out, and with reference to Hennepin and Ramsey County, that an inflation factor is put on that, which is property value in tax increase in the area, but not a mill levy increase. What are the dollars left over? And that's the bottom line that we're coming to.
Okay, but it seems to me the underlying assumption here is that we can expect the local governmental contribution to just kind of keep up with the inflation factor. Well, we're going to get the additional money that the system, the industry's got to have out of the state budget.
That's not true.
Isn't that true? It sounds to me that's what you're assuming.
Okay.
And I say, why not go the other direction? Why not assume that it will come out of the local government?
In table A right here is our projections, our expectations, is the third column of what local support will do. The third column of table A is an expectation about local support. You'll see that in 1984 we only expect it to be $3,093,000. If you send us 40% standard, which is done in table 49, by 1984 we'd expect $3,580,000. That leaves us about $500,000 short. The expectation is $500,000 short of the 40% standard by 1984. So we are recommending to the local governments that they increase significantly to meet the need. We're saying that you got to do $500,000 more than we'd expect you to do by 1984, just as we address the state and ask them to do more than we would expect them to
the
do.
The other point of your comment is that the state factor does not increase either. It is simply tied to the growth rate in the system and nothing more. Inflation, period. There was an attempt to get to that bottom figure for the year 1977 and then use that to make the calculation as to what it would be if the percentages stayed the same for the remaining period. It 40% being local, 60% is other than local, and it stays at 60% right straight through. The 60% is the national endowment, which is a fix, and the Kenneth and Ramsey mill levy, which is a fix, and the remainder being public funding, which will grow no faster than the system as a whole will be growing, which is an inflation rate.
Bill is saying right now the state is at 500,000. We're asking them to go to 1,000,008, which is 1,000,003 increase. Why are we asking the state to take the 1,000,003 and not local government?
Exactly. Why don't we ask the local government to come up with the big new money?
Let's look at the local government. The local government, right now, there's 1,000,000. What's the current 75 local governments?
A million seven.
1,000,007? Doesn't over 1,000,000 of that go to one source?
$46,000 in 1975, okay. Yeah.
That is a very historical levy that came back as a gift, as the consideration for a gift of land, way back when. And if you take the $900,000 that goes to the Institute, and I suppose if you take the money that goes to the St. Paul Arts and Sciences Council out, two things happen. Number one, you find there's very little local support going to other organizations.
$320,000.
Yeah. And the other thing that happens is that I think it's going to be the figure that's going to have to expand. These others are really set, so that if you think that there's only $320,000 of uncommitted local funding that all the other organizations are going to have to get, I think that it's going to be a very hard battle to expect them in many ways to hold even the 40%, because they're going to, these other ones are historical, and I don't think they're very anxious to raise that.
Okay.
And I guess
go back to table A.
Let me just ask one question. I just wonder whether in these figures, maybe it's in here, but do you point out that of this local support, that in effect two sources do take most of it? I mean, you don't have to point out where, but I think if you read it without knowing that,
the system is corrected to take into account Hennepin and Ramsey County mill levies.
The second and third paragraphs of the first page talk about the fact that of the 1.7, 1.5 is Hennepin and Ramsey County.
Yeah, but my point is it's really two institutions. Well, it's a handful of institutions. That's the point. In other words, the Art Institute gets over half of it all itself.
Yeah, right.
But is that pointed out any place? And
yes.
If it is, or if it isn't, it shouldn't be.
In table, paragraph 2 says the 230 respondents to our survey supported $3.24 million of public sector support in 1975, of which $1.77 million was from local sources. Hennepin and Ramsey County supplied 1.516408 of this total.
But you're not telling me that one institution, the Institute, got $900,000, because that, and the reasons for that, and I'm not critical of the Institute, but it's just, if you go, that's been getting a levy for, 50 years probably?
Except for in this discussion, we're not talking about who necessarily gets the money. We're talking about where the money is coming from.
No, I appreciate that. All I'm saying is that because I get the same question. Why do you ask us, the state, to do it all? And
wait a second. Now, that's currently in 1975, there were $320,000 of local support, $320,462 of local support. If you look at Table A, what we're talking about, that 40% standard, what that's built on, the second column says that there should be 399,000 in other sources other than Hennepin and Ramsey.
Yeah.
433,000 in 1978, 467, 501, 535, that's growing. We're also asking the local government to do more. Now, not only do we ask them in that sense to do more, not only do we expect them to grow in that sense, But we also say that by 1984, that wouldn't be 40%. That would only be 35% of total public sector support. A 40% standard for local support would be $3,500,000.
I'm asking an easier question. I'm not asking the conclusion.
Okay.
I'm just saying that the reader should be informed, it seems to me, of the makeup of the Hennepin and Ramsey County contributions, because I think that the study
we can put that in as a footnote. I think Jimmy's point and the premise of the trend model is to try and analyze the entire system and draw some general conclusions, which is based upon the data of how that system is actually working as a financial animal. We have a further problem, and the more we go into details, and all the figures are in the report, and all of them are included in the appendices, anyone who wishes to check them out can go through it and track the dollar amounts on everything. We have a great deal of information at our disposal, however, which these organizations historically have not made public for a whole variety of reasons. It's just not their way of doing things. Now, we may or may not approve of that way of and standard of behavior, and in fact, one of the issues of governance that we've been talking about would include items of publishing detailed financial statements and so on of these organizations. Be that as it may, at the moment, the commission information is based upon audited financial statements and detailed financial information made available to us by the auditors of these organizations and their treasurers and the group, and is analyzed for purposes of drawing a system-wide model without attempting to focus on this organization is doing this organization is doing this, and should it be this way or should it be that way for a particular organization. We felt the problem was bad enough in trying to get a grasp on the whole animal, which is absolutely essential to be able to make some intelligent statements as to what the shortfall in the system is for any area and what the projected problems are going to be looking out a couple of years, which is our primary responsibility.
Steve, Phil, one of the things that came up the other day, there was some feeling that for local government to increase their support of the arts, there's only one place they could get it, and that's from a property tax. And perhaps, you know, that's not a politically viable way to do it. And that's just, I don't know whether I feel that way or not, but that was brought up the other day.
Well, that's what I think people do feel, but that's what I'm not accepting.
Are you projecting these percentages then should go to all, apply to all local forms of government? In other words, what does Rochester give now? What does St. Cloud give? What does Marshall give? Are we going to just use Hennepin and Ramsey County?
No, those figures are all included in the table, which was
all of the...
That was made up, that comes out to this 40%, those figures were taken into account?
Yes,
so that
the
is
total system adds up to 40% right now, today.
To 55% right now, it'll add up to 40% in 1977.
If you want to see what each individual section or development district does, look at my memorandum, which is in front of you, and the table which is right under the map showing the development regions shows earned income for each...
That's a column.
Which one? What's it called?
Column.
The long one?
My memorandum, October 15. The sheet immediately under the Minnesota Development Regions is a table which occurs in your material under the regional analysis, mm-hmm. and that shows the income per sector, per region, as the basis for that of the memorandum.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to state again what I'm getting at is, and I don't want to get myself confused with all these percentages and numbers, and I'm not sure that many here agree with me, but it seemed to me that the central thrust of what we're doing here is that it's a lot of big and important arts institutions are going to need more money in the future, and it's easier to get it from the state budget than it is from local government. But I don't myself accept that. I think that the main task of ongoing financing ongoing arts institutions all over the state, to the extent they have to get new, you know, tax support, the main reliance ought to be on local government, because the people in every community know their arts institutions and can better size up the value to of those arts institutions to them and to their fellow citizens and in their local context, and they can do it better and more practically, and you can make the best, the better judgment about how you reconcile the amount of services people want to have and the taxes they want to pay at the local governmental level, and you can by putting everything into a state budget pot. So that's why I've been challenging this assumption that we're only going to, you can only get so much from local government because it comes from the property tax, and so we got to look to the state budget. I say maybe it's harder to get it from local government, but that's all right. You ought to do a, we ought to do a good, these arts institutions ought to do a good selling job at local government, because it's their local people that know best, surely, what these arts institutions are worth and their value. And I like much better the idea of arts institutions in every community going to their own local government and getting the revenue, the money out of local taxation, instead of everybody in the state putting money into a big pot up here in the Capitol and then trying to divide it on by some kind of rationale about where, what arts institutions are most worthy around the state.
According to your theory, would the state be completely absolved then from any kind of financial support?
No, it seems to me. Now, I'm not much of an arts person, so I apologize for not having developed ideas.
I think
there are some kind of functions that only the state can do. And I was awfully impressed to read the section that's prepared here on the needs of the artists. And I like the idea of fellowships or grants directly to individual artists. And I think that could only be done on a state basis. That function looks to me like distinctly a state function.
I'm not sure that there is a disagreement yet, because the 40% factor is simply what is already in place. And the conclusion drawn at the moment is that it will just continue at that rate, and the state support will continue at its rate, state and federal combined, which is a combination of 60%. But if you look at the two combined, it's 60-40 state-federal. The even with the premise of the amount of money that will go in initially, and the bottom line which we're leading up to with Jimmy, that will only get us to the 60-40 level in terms of state expenditure. The state is not historically at that level vis-a-vis every county in the state and the metropolitan area. It does not also draw any conclusions about what happens after the state gets to that level in terms of additional expenditure. And the recommendation of the public sector subcommittee was that there be that the commission make recommendations in form of some sort of incentive program whereby there would be state monies available if the local community could raise a comparable portion on some sort of matching basis, and leaving wide open as to what the source of that be, whether it would be local public funds or private sector contributions or whatever. What is really being talked of here is getting at the threshold level only, and that is in terms of what the system-wide model shows. Now, there may be a point of disagreement as to whether, in terms of the first and basic dollar amounts, that in turn also ought to be predominantly local funding rather than state level. And if that is your point, when we get all through with this, then there may be disagreement between you and other members of the commission. But I think looking out, the premise was There are a number of areas where we can foresee that the system is going to fall short in terms of earning the money necessary to make it work. One is public sector, one is private sector. Within the public sector, local funding. Within the private sector, individual contributions just to stay at the 25% level. And one of the basic recommendations was that as part of the statewide plan to be evolved would be the need to build in incentives to encourage local giving, for local support, and that's both tax monies and private monies. And the need is simply just to stay at that 40% level will require substantial infusions of new money each year. And therefore, there should be built in the incentive of the local community to tax themselves to get it, or to raise it through private sources. And to the extent it doesn't meet those criteria, while the money is available, it's available only under the statewide plan, it's available only if the criteria arrived at on a statewide basis, not just by the State Arts Board, but in consultation with all these regional groups, the regional arts boards, who will collectively devise the state plan. If the money is not available on the standards set by the state plan, the state money does not come there in that additional component to be used in that area. So there's an incentive and a disincentive. If they are not able to generate it, they will not produce it. But that was, under the premise that had been discussed so far, as part of an incentive program beyond getting to the initial point, which is what I would consider to be the shortfall in the system today. There was considerable discussion at the public sector subcommittee regarding the fact that this commission had never been charged with, and really it was not in its province to start worrying about local taxes to fund the arts. We were asked to analyze the whole system-wide shortfall and try and make recommendations, public and private, but not to suggest in a particular area that the shortfall was X dollars and that ultimately that was going to be what was discussed as a property tax, a local property tax to pick up the system. Well, I'd like to get back to Jim's analysis to get us back to the dollars that are missing in the system.
Could I ask one question?
Yeah.
I assumed when he started that we were talking about tax money and the percentage. Now, you said if the money could not be raised that way, that part of that percentage could come from the private sector. Is that how you interpret that?
No. We're talking, first of all, about the missing tax money in your terms. What the public sector subcommittee then went on to say was, looking ahead, if you accept the concept that of the total 20% public sector monies, tax monies, one way or another, that is needed to keep the system afloat, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, and if you accept the premise that the local responsibility is 40% of that, just to reach that 40% will require ever-increasing dollar amounts in the local communities. Now, that's the local sector was intended to mean the region. And how that came in was an open question. But to reach the 40% would require further funding. The recommendation was that additional monies beyond the threshold, getting up to the shortfall, which I think is $1.9 million or something like that. Beyond that, additional monies be available to the region on a matching basis, and that the matching basis could come from any of a variety of ways. The growth in other regions, in other words, in the region, could occur beyond the floor by money being generated either in the private sector or by the community as a whole willing to tax itself, the county unit.
All right,
Jim?
To sort of wrap up this memorandum, the critical table is table 49. This table takes the need as defined by the trend model, the need to meet expenditures through 1984. It's the last page of the public sector memorandum. This, the small one that we've been talking about. The last page of that. Now, the 60, 55, 50, 45 column, that tells you what percentage you might expect from the local government. If you set a standard of 40%, you read that row across for each year, and that tells you how many dollars you can expect from the local sector at the 40% of the 20% public support. And then the state line tells you how many dollars is left over after you take local and federal out of the 20%. You'll see under the 40% standard that local support always runs at more dollars, total dollars, than state support. And to give you a little breakdown on the 1984 number, the $3,580,680 number for 1984, which would be local support under the 40% standard, $2,450,000 of it would be Hennepin and Ramsey, and $1,176,000 of it would be all other local sources. And that's a considerable jump in local support, other local sources, from the $320,000 that existed in 1975. So we are asking the local governments to do quite a bit under the 40% standard.
May I ask, in this local contributions, what did you count? For instance, in Region 5, $12,000. What's made up that $12,000?
Now, you're referring to
local support.
This table here, Region 5. $12,904 in Region 5 on this big table.
Right.
That's under earned income.
Correct.
That means that was ticket sales. Ticket sales, classes, tuition for classes in the arts, and things like that.
As I look at that, I think that figure is an error.
You don't think it's an error?
I think it is.
In what sense?
Well, I don't think it's enough if it includes all ticket sales for this type of thing. I mean, this looks like it might be the junior college's ticket sale for the Summit Theater.
No, this was only for arts organizations. No educational institutions were included.
What about the what about something like the Lake Area Music Association? Would that be included? This is all I'm asking information.
Is that Region 5?
No, that's in Region 5, or is this just something that's sponsored by Region 5?
This is nonprofit arts organizations who exist in Region 5.
Yeah.
Only nonprofit arts organizations,
right,
who exist, whose home base is in Region 5.
Right.
This isn't all nonprofit arts organizations. These are the ones in this particular table who answered our survey. There were 230 out of the 315 that answered the survey. Now, we might have missed one organization in Region 5.
Well, that can't be. You can't have it perfect. But I just wanted
$12,904 is all the income at all we got reported for Region 5 organizations.
Well, I think that's perhaps an error. But I mean, how large, I don't know. That's subject matter.
I wonder if I can. Well,
no, don't bother.
After the meeting, I can run through and tell you which organizations responded for Region 5, how many there were, and things like that. But that's all the income that was reported for that region. Going back to Table 48. Table 49. The bottom line, state under the 40% standard is that row, which says 40% all the way across from 1984, starts out at $1,815,000 worth of need from the state government in 1977 and runs out to $3,218,000 in 1984. That's to meet expenditures. On the assumption that the public sector ought to provide 20% of the total need for arts organizations, nonprofit arts organizations. On the assumption that the federal government will continue to contribute to Minnesota nonprofit arts organizations and that contribution will expand at the rate of inflation. And on the assumption that of the 20% total public sector support, 40% of that money ought to come from local government. The remainder then from the state government is that line.
Just your third assumption there that...
Under different assumptions, like for instance 60% local, you'd have the top line, the top row.
It seemed to me we're making assumptions in terms of percentages instead of having some kind of rationale about where organizations ought to get their money. I mean, why don't we just pick 40% out of the air?
In my sense, I pick 40% out of the air because it was what local governments would be doing in 1977. It doesn't carry out to 1984. It seems to me that it's not, we're making a recommendation, you're a commission and you're looking at local government and you're saying this is the need and 40% seems a reasonable share for local government. The state government is going to be less than 40%. The federal government, of course, we can't do anything about.
But actually, in fact, today you have most local governments doing zero on the state.
You do.
Is that correct?
And I imagine in 1984, most local governments in the state will continue to do zero. And we're here we're not talking, we're talking about the needs of nonprofit arts organizations in a sense, and I guess no matter what's done, no matter what this commission does, the majority of local governments are going to continue not supporting the arts, it seems to me. And to ask them to do 40% is to ask a lot, to expect a lot from 1984.
You disagree with the 40% figure?
Well, yeah, I do disagree with it. I mean, just when you just get down to the practicalities of life, I can understand this better if we talk in terms of some instances. And I'll get away from my home community. Take the at Rochester. They've got a nice right. Anybody here from Rochester? They've got a nice art center there and a very good ongoing program. I only read about it a little bit, but suppose they find in the future that they just don't have enough money. Okay, I accept fully the idea that the taxpayers can be asked and ought to help. But as near as I can understand, you visualize that whatever amount has to come from the taxpayers is beyond the earned income and beyond the private contributions. That 40% of that is going to come from the Rochester taxpayers, and 60% from, well, there's the federal share in there, but otherwise would be from the state taxpayers. Well, why? What sense? It seems to me that if Rochester people are the people in the best position to decide at what level they want that arts activity to continue. And so it ought to be argued out in front of the agencies that directly represent Rochester people, namely their city council and their county board, and they ought to decide how heavily or how lightly they want to tax themselves to get what degree of arts activity going on in that center. And that same kind of decision ought to be made community by community throughout the state.
Don't you think that will still occur, and will occur primarily in the private sector, when under this model, which simply reflects what is in fact in place, 80% of the money is raised outside of the public sector entirely, so that Rochester group is going to have to be able to raise 80% of the money in other ways. Just to continue on the pattern that it always has and every other organization has, before it's even going to be in the business of getting money. Historically, all of these organizations are 80% private sector supported. 20% is public sector. 40% of the 20% would be local public sector on this, or a total of 8% of the total money that goes in there, as opposed to the 80%, 10 times, which is raised locally otherwise. The growth or non-growth, it seems to me, is going to be determined overwhelmingly by the local community. The only question that you have is, on a system-wide basis, whether you can help focus attention on priorities by the amount of public money, which is always going to be very limited, going into the system, to encourage an orderly, rational growth throughout the system. And to the extent that the public money is at all significant, discourage unnecessary competition, or in areas where there is not going to be adequate support for the institution once it gets going. The total amount of public money is very, very small in this. This is going to remain an overwhelmingly private sector, but the public monies are going to be enough to help encourage organizations to focus their direction, their growth, if any, their activities, if any, in a way which would conform with some minimal sort of state planning and organization, recognizing the ability of people within, basically determined by the region themselves, where they are, because that's the funding formula that's being recommended.
May I make one comment?
Can I just say now, you talk about basically determined by the region where they are. let's take this Rochester Art Center now. The region where they are runs from Red Wing to Albert Lea, over to Winona and over to Owatonna and up to Faribault and Northfield. Now, for goodness sake, why do all those communities that are they're an hour's drive and more away from Rochester, why are they going to get their ore in on what level of activity goes on in this Rochester Arts Center? Why don't the people in Rochester, to the extent that it's a, the, we're just talking about the public sector share now, why don't just the people in Rochester decide that? And let the people in Albert Lea decide about their art center or their music group or whatever they choose to have. Why mix this all up with a regional dispersal of money?
Let me go to the Rochester Art Center. It currently does get a grant from Rochester, the city of Rochester, which is, I think, I figured it out, roughly 20% of the total expenditures of the Rochester Art Center come from a grant from the city of Rochester. Now, there's nobody here saying that we ought to take that option away from the people of Rochester and say to the people of Rochester, you can't decide what to do with your art center anymore. What we do here has no impact on that at all. If they want to go on giving money to the art center, they will. What we're saying is that looking at all the organizations in the state of Minnesota and looking at current public sector support and local support in particular, what we might expect in the future for all organizations is X. And when we say 40%, that's considerably more than we could expect simply by projecting it out. We're not saying to anybody that you ought not to consider doing for your local arts organization at your own municipal or county level. We are saying, and in fact, do that. We need considerable money in that sense. We're asking them to do more than we currently expect them to do. And Rochester is a great case because they do more than 20%. They do 27% at the local level. And nobody's denying that. We're just saying that for the system as a whole, this is public sector need, and we can expect the local to do this. And even if we expect the local to do this, we might ask them to do somewhat more. We might encourage the local governments to do somewhat more than we expect them to do. And then if we do that, what you have left in need ought to be taken care of by the state government out of income taxes rather than property taxes. And that's the argument.
Well, okay, I guess I understand your argument, but I just don't believe it. I don't buy it. Why? Look, here's all of Minnesota, one place. What I'm saying is, to the extent we have to have tax support for kind of ongoing community arts institutions, let the people at each community make that decision community by community. If some community chooses to have no arts activity, that's their choice.
That still happen.
But why put all one money into a big pot and then distribute it out? Because after all, the whole state is only so much money.
The only thing that goes in the pot is the state's portion of the money. And the only time the local decision making will involve itself with state decision making is if the local organization or organizations collectively want, in addition to the money they raise themselves locally, participation in the state funds. And to the extent they participate in state funds, they're asked to participate in the decision making on more than just a municipal basis to assist in an orderly development in their region, and that's all. And that's a giant step forward from where it is now, where the decision making is made exclusively by the local organization in Rochester, in your example, applying the State Arts Board on an isolated grant-by-grant basis for funds and getting all or part, depending on what the level of state appropriations is by you.
Why do you think that's better, Mr. Paul?
The opportunity for the decision-making to involve local people on a local level who are closest to those organizations within a guide work within a formula that is acceptable on a statewide basis. As long as the standards for receiving money are uniform within the state, an organization of a certain size, for example, hypothetical, that it has financial statements of a certain order so there can be some certification that the money is actually being used for what it was granted for. whatever, or that if the statewide standard is that it ought to earn at least a certain portion of its money in terms of either gate receipts or local contributions or whatever. If it meets those standards, which were put together on a statewide basis, the grant-making decision be made. Now we're talking about purely local organizations, not those that are going to have a much wider regional, interregional, statewide impact, which would still be done on a statewide basis. But for the pure local organizations, the decision making be done on a much more local basis, as long as it conforms with those basic statewide criteria which the local organization has helped put together.
But wouldn't those criteria put some restrictions on the state arts board? Now isn't in effect. For instance, the sponsoring of the Minnesota Symphony. If they put some criteria in that they must raise a certain amount, this wouldn't permit the state's arts board to ever decide that a community that can't raise this amount of money shouldn't have the Minnesota Orchestra for some reason or other. If they could only raise, the many years I was on the state arts council before it was changed to a board, the council itself used its own judgments to what they thought that community could raise. Now, if the state is going to say how much they've got to raise, I think these would be restrictions on that could be a problem as far as encouraging the arts throughout the state.
Well, I really used as a hypothetical example, not, and I was intending the model in terms of an organization which was applying for support money, as opposed to something like the Minnesota Orchestra coming and putting on a concert in a particular community. Two things. First would be that the State Arts Board would, under the concepts which have been discussed to date by the Commission and subcommittees, retain jurisdiction over statewide arts resources, such as the Minnesota Orchestra, Guthrie Theater, and that it would be making grants for the support of those organizations directly. It would
directly
also
to the organization or to the people who have asked for them?
Two types of grants. One is direct support, and the second is as part of a plan to develop touring, etc., to make these resources available statewide, grants either to the organization or to the community to bring them there. In other words, exactly what it's doing now. The only question we're talking about here is, in addition to that, to the extent that significant monies can be made available to the communities through the State Arts Board that is available for local organizations, that the decision on grant making of that local money, state money made available to the local community, be made by a local board in conformity with some sort of statewide plan.
This local board is regional oriented, though. Yes.
Nothing local about a region.
That's what I think. I think this is a problem.
Aren't we losing sight of some of the practical aspects? And that is that philosophically, I agree that the local area ought to support its own institutions. But I think that, and I only can speak of the Twin Cities, if it were up to Hennepin and Ramsey counties to support the major organizations that are, I think, very important for that region, they would have a very hard time doing it from any local government. You can make all sorts of analogies to the federal government. Perhaps the best is the highway between Minneapolis and St. Paul, which I suspect was funded 90% federal dollars, 10% local dollars. Now, no question that everybody here wanted it, there's no question that everybody here uses it greater than people in Wisconsin, but it's the kind of thing that doesn't get done unless somebody else puts funding. Social Security is another example. I agree that ideally the local organizations or the local government should support their own arts, but I've watched in Hennepin County the several requests for funding for the major organizations. In fact, some money was given last year, I think $20,000 to each of the major organizations. But it's very, very difficult to get more, and that was criticized itself. So that, you know, while I can acknowledge that, I think that you have to look practically and make the judgment that the arts are important for Minnesota, whether it's Rochester, whether it's International Falls, or wherever, and say that the state, or ask the state, and that's what we're really here doing, ask the state to agree in that conclusion and provide funding. Now, as Steve points out, My final statement is that once there is state funding, that state funding will be in what I would call a fixed income part of an organization. Again, in Rochester, the Rochester people want to do more than they're enabled to do with the state funding. They will have to go to their local places to do more. So that I think that one of the things that the state funding does is it's going to assist organizations in providing for the base services budget. But to do much of innovative programming or whatever, they're certainly going to need local support. So that I don't really think we're cutting out local support because the state happens to be there.
Well, we have a very divergent, basic divergence of viewpoint here, and I don't know how long you want to continue it.
Well, Steve, perhaps this does raise the issue of a related kind of recommendation, and that is whether or not the local governments, whether they be county, city, village, whatever, should be required to contribute, in fact, a proportion of this in order to be able to obtain the state monies.
When we speak about the local governments and the regionals, how many regions are really organized? How many have we got? Three?
Five
that are really operating. Now we're region one, and we've for all practical purposes been organized. And it's the biggest mess you ever want to see. Nobody knows who's doing what. They cannot agree on anything because it does has 10 counties, and the distances are much greater than here. In order to get these people together, it's a monumental job. And if you're going to discuss any kind of a future of the arts in Minnesota, on the regional basis, if the regional arts commissions will have to make any decisions on that, I think we might as well fold up, because I hate to say that, but unless there is a fantastic improvement in within a year, then this program will be feasible. I think it's still very much.
There's one important point, Doug, which has been in the minutes for some time, and that is the concept that what has been talked of is more a vehicle and a long-range plan. And to the extent any of the regions are not able to or do not want to evolve into a regional grant-making organization, and certainly until that evolution occurs under any circumstances, the responsibilities remain in the State Arts Board. The only concept which has been introduced by the subcommittees to date on this is that the State Arts Board itself ought to start moving in the direction of some long-range plan and goal and orderly process for decision-making rather than an individual grant-by-grant depending highly on who sits on a particular panel at a particular time. That they're, first of all, you can be much more efficient in your decision making and a good deal less arbitrary in terms of the individuals and the organizations who happen to be before you if you can start evolving a standard and try to apply that on a more of a systematic basis than an arbitrary panel by panel grant making basis. Secondly, to the extent that can be done, the standards, the criteria, and the plan itself ought to evolve in terms of priorities, ought to evolve with heavy local input rather than with a mandate from the state capitol, which is not to say that the plan is to be determined in its entirety within one particular region and to the exclusion of the rest of the state, nor is it to be done entirely at the state level. But the attempt was to see the interplay of the two try and produce some statewide standards and planning process, and that the role of the State Arts Board, in addition to statewide grant making, which it already has, ought to be the administrative agency to maintain the source of data and information upon which all these local grants would be made. And to serve as an administrative agency in assisting the local forests to the extent that they had evolved and wished to be making local grants, as opposed to relying on the State Arts Board to do it, to assist in that process. And the concept was to devise a plan that allowed that to evolve. The concept of regionalism was to try and get some of the basic decision making made in other than on an entirely statewide basis for a particular region. The total dollar amounts, I repeat, as we envisioned it, were always going to be very small in terms of what the state was doing. We hope to see this as a vehicle for developing greater local money. The question that came up in the discussion in the subcommittee was to posit a greater percentage than is already there of local money to date as a standard for the very first dollars that would come from the state under any new program recommended by the commission. Was pushing the political system substantially further than it had given any evidence of being to date, and that it seemed more sensible to rely on exactly what were the standards, not necessarily standards, but what had evolved historically in to date in terms of dollar amounts and allocation, in terms of trying to devise the total dollar amount that the state would put in initially, and then provide incentives for the other to evolve. Now, I think that's as far as we were. The total dollar amount on Jimmy's model, date for the fiscal year 19, the state's fiscal year begins July 1. Our figures tend to be on a calendar year basis. So the table you have on Jimmy's memorandum, which shows 1,000,008 state funding for 1977 and 2,043 for 1978, our calendar year basis, our calendar year figures for the next legislative session. My assumption is that the figure is approximately midpoint between those two, giving weight to the fact that the state starts and ends its fiscal year mid-year in terms of these processes at 1,000,009. That the subcommittee's recommendation to the full commission as the missing dollar amount in the system right now, in terms of when we are asked the question, what is the shortfall, what is the missing money right now today in the system? Now that doesn't take into account the amount the state is currently spending, which you'd have to deduct from that, and does not take into account administrative expenses in handling that or anything else. That is the recommendation of the subcommittee in terms of this commission of fixing on a dollar amount of shortfall. David, have I misstated that? All right. David Levitoff.
Can I understand you to say that this table is a recommendation of the subcommittee?
The table is not the recommendation of the subcommittee. The recommendation of the subcommittee is that in terms of the dollars missing from the system for fiscal year 1978, the minimum for the system is $1,900,000. That does not include the administrative cost of handling that. That does not include any additional monies or special programs to be targeted as part of a statewide plan. Does not include monies, for example, for scholarships for artists, which is a separate subcommittee recommendation. That's simply the conclusion as to the statistics of the shortfall of the system. Now, I think we have the responsibility, since that comes forward as a subcommittee recommendation to the commission, and is one of the basic conclusions of the trend study, to make some recommendations one way or another on the basis of that.
excuse me, Steve, I still don't understand. Are you saying that, that what the subcommittee is recommending is a specific dollar amount, period?
I think it's the subcommittee's recommendation that the missing state dollars for the next fiscal year, assuming the 55-25-20 breakdown in income for the entire system, which was approved as a model for by this commission at its last meeting, and assuming a 40% local support factor, which was the premise of the memorandum, that, and assuming no increase in federal funding except as inflation, no increase except by inflation of the Hennepin-Ramsey County mill levies, that is the missing public sector money by the state. And would be state responsibility. I believe that is the recommendation of the subcommittee. Is that
correct? Well, no, Stephen, no, I still don't understand. What, just very simply, what is the recommendation of the subcommittee? That X amount of money should be granted by the state? Can we do a one-sentence summary of what the subcommittee is recommending in terms of
that? That is a portion of the state money. That is what's necessary just to make the model whole in terms of money received.
Oh, in other words, this is as much money as will be needed by the state, is that
correct?
Is that what you're saying?
For nonprofit arts organizations. For nonprofit arts organizations, exclusive of the money to administer that grants, that is those grants, and any other special programming.
Well, then, is it fair to say the subcommittee doesn't have a recommendation with regard to local funding?
What we recommended was your. We recommended that your proposal be considered by the full commission.
Right.
And that one of the assumptions is that local government will continue to pick up 40%.
So the assumption is that local government will continue to pick up 40%.
May I ask a question?
$1.9 million is based on the assumption local government will continue to pick up 40%.
You mentioned, Steve, something about the Hennepin and Ramsey, the current levy in Hennepin and Ramsey County. Would that be included in the 40% for those two, for that district?
It is included.
I raised the point at the public sector subcommittee meeting last week that I don't object to this table being drawn up so that we understand what we're talking about, if we're talking about 40% and 60%, but that I, for one, don't want to see state monies in Hennepin and Ramsey County contingent on the counties raising money, because I know that the counties will not raise the money. The only alternative, I don't know how it is in rural Minnesota, but I know that in Hennepin and Ramsey counties, there is no possibility of a property tax increase for that purpose, and therefore I didn't want to see state money, which comes from other sources, dependent on something that I know isn't going to happen. And there was agreement on that, I thought, at the subcommittee, and I just repeat that now, so to be certain that there's still a fair understanding.
To answer that question, Hennepin and Ramsey County is part of the 40%. But the Hennepin and Ramsey County share, the Hennepin County share is carried out in the current 0.35 mill levy on Hennepin County's expectation of assessed value through 1981 at least, and it looks just like inflation, and the Ramsey County contribution is carried out just like inflation through 1984, only increased by the rate of inflation. So we're not really asking Hennepin and Ramsey County to increase significantly. And even if you did distribute the state monies in terms of Mr. Flom's memorandum, the current Hennepin and Ramsey contributions would be sufficient to cover the 40% standard.
The short answer to your question was the recommendation came forward from the subcommittee without the condition attached to it that there be 40% local funding. There was discussion in the subcommittee as to the advisability on a statewide basis of encouraging 40% local support, and that that be in some fashion incorporated in our recommendations.
Up to 20%. 40% of the 20%.
Correct.
Or 8 of the 40%.
8 of the total.
8% of the total, all sources.
Right, yes.
Steve, given all this discussion and acknowledging that we do not yet have the final recommendations, would it be advisable to utilize this discussion and then put something to a vote that, you know, philosophically, do we agree to the 40% of 20% or however? I mean, I just ask that because I fear that we're going to find that the recommendations and the conclusions are going to come at us at a time when there are going to be so many of them that we might lose or have to rediscuss all these items again before we do it. Now, I frankly don't feel one way or another. I just raised it really as a point of order. Because you do, I mean, I think if we see everything that's been presented to us, you do come to the conclusion that we are asking the state to provide the, in effect, the shortfall that is not provided by local governments and not provided by the federal government, not provided by private sources.
Yes, I don't think we can avoid addressing the issue frontally. I think that's an abdication of our responsibility. It seems to me that the information produced by our staff indicates that there is, when all these other factors are considered, and assuming everyone, each of these other components reach the level that we have found has been the case in the past few years, there will be a shortfall in the system, which I think in the opinion of the subcommittee is a state responsibility of $1,000,009 in fiscal year 1978, which does not include any additional funding for administration of those funds or other purposes. That is simply a shortfall in the system. I think that we probably should resolve to include that as a conclusion in the report, or not to, or amend it in any fashion. I think we can treat as a separate matter, because I believe that was the way it came forward from the subcommittee, the issue of whether the state ought to mandate 40% local funding as a condition to that, ought to encourage it, or whether the commission report should simply take note that its premise is there will be 40%. I think those are two separate issues which we probably should try and resolve now. Is there a resolution on the point?
Well, what do you want? I mean, a resolution that that we approve the. I guess we really don't have anything specific to approve. I guess if you want me to make a resolution up, it would be that we approve the first. We approve the 20% government public support is appropriate. Secondly, that we approve that 40% of the 20% come from local sources. And thirdly, we request that the state government consider funding the remainder. I think I've mixed the figures up there because I haven't gotten the federal and the state in properly.
I think we approved the 55-25-20 at a previous meeting. I think the only question we have is, do we have approval in the form of a recommendation of applying these figures to the model produced by Jimmy Powell? Do we accept a need of the system of $1,000,009 in terms of state monies?
I think what you want is a motion to the effect that from available information that there is a $1,000,009 shortfall for fiscal year 1978. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're talking about.
Why don't we put that sort of thing in the form of a finding as opposed to a recommendation, and then the recommendations would be something somewhat different.
Finding of this commission that there's a $1.9 million. There will be a $1.9 million shortfall in fiscal 1978.
I agree with what Andy just suggested. I think that that was the finding, that specific dollar amount. I don't think we've been, in fact, my memory is, if you look at the, if you look at this memo to a public sector subcommittee, on the second page, it says, given the current patterns of local support, it would be reasonable for the commission to recommend that every dollar of state money spent in a region be matched by a dollar of local support to the arts. My memory of our public sector subcommittee is that we took that sentence out.
Yes, we did.
We did.
We never passed on that.
We didn't pass that.
We didn't pass on that.
That's correct.
The memorandum that was sent forward was the final memorandum, not that.
Yeah, I mean, that's I'm not complaining that it's in here in the copy that we have here. I just point out to people that that's not a recommendation of the subcommittee. So I'm perfectly prepared. We discussed the 1.9 figure, and there was agreement on that. I guess I'm speaking in support of Andy's motion that that's what the reasonable need would be. When we start getting into these other matters, that's complicated. I think we should deal with a simple matter.
Fine. I assume that's the form of the second motion. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor? I think we should have a hand.
State precisely now what we're voting at.
Will you please?
That it is the finding of this commission. That it is the finding of this commission that through the available data, the shortfall in the industry is $1.9 million for fiscal 1978.
There will be.
Will be. 1.9 million fiscal 1978.
What's fiscal 78, please?
June 30, 1978.
Why don't we find what the figures show, and that's calendar 77, calendar 78, et cetera, or is this a premise for?
Well, I was trying to convert it to a figure that would be meaningful for the legislature. Our tables don't track with the state fiscal year.
Why do we make a finding on 79 on that?
Do we need to go beyond 1 year?
The model
will be in the table. I think it's just a record. This is just a finding of the commission.
50% of them started 21st of February.
Is there any further discussion? All right. All those in favor, raise your hand, please.
This is just a straight factual finding. Okay,
I'd mind. We believe Jimmy's figure.
Well, I guess we could not have to worry about it. That's unanimous. Well, that's
factual.
Now, do you wish to address the second point of the 40% factor?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, when you say the 40% factor, I'm not certain what's meant. Is that meant that someone is proposing that 40% of this money that's needed should come from a certain source? Local? Non-local? What do you mean when you say the 40%?
Let Jimmy explain.
Yeah.
The 40%.
In 1977, it is true that we find, based on projections, that the need will be $1.9 million or $1.815 million. In 1977, the projections show that the total public sector support, 40% of it, will come from the local support sources. We're sure of that. But when we extend and look out to 1984, it'll be somewhat less than 40% from local sources if we simply project what's going on in the system. So that when you say you're setting a 40% standard, you're saying not only for 1977, where we can't expect to find that, but all the way through 1984, we recommend, we encourage, whatever, that the local sources continue to meet 40% of this need, which is more than we expect them to do on the projections of the model.
Are you saying, let me ask a question. You stated that in 1977 it will be 40%. We know that for a fact, as much of a fact as we have, but that when you base it out to 1984, that it won't be that. Is that because the facts tell you that local government support is declining outstate?
It's not declining. It's simply not growing as fast as inflation and the growth in the arts industry would not growing as fast as they grow, so that as a percentage it drops off. Okay. So it continues to grow.
So it's the finding then of the commission that 40% is provided currently by local supports, provided by local support through taxes or whatever, okay? And it's a finding of the commission based on inflationary factors in your model that 40% will decline to X, whatever it is, to 1984. And so what we may want to find, what we may want to recommend, is that local support, that we encourage local support to be maintained at a 40% level.
Or could you find that
you find
in our opinion, 40% is an appropriate level for the ratio between state and local funding?
Sure, I don't, I mean...
That's verbiage.
We find that it's 40% now. We're finding that by 1984 it would be less than 40%. And then it's a question of whether or not we feel that 40% is an appropriate level, and if it is, do we encourage a local government to maintain that standard?
The question is whether we recommend that public policy be directed to encouraging that 40% level being maintained. Is that in the form of a motion? Andy, Michael, would you take that down?
May I ask a question? I think the word encourage is very important here. Otherwise, the local governments will think that you have to, and if you don't, you're just going to be left out in the cold, even though you are still a taxpayer.
If I understand the suggestion, it is that the commission recognized that in fiscal year 1977, local government support has been at least 40%, that projecting those figures out on the basis of the information in hand, even though they will be increasing, they will not be increasing by an inflation factor, keeping track with the system, and that by 1984, it will decline below 40%.
To 34.6%.
Mm-hmm. That is a recommendation of the commission that public policy be directed towards encouraging local support to remain at the 40%, to reach, or better, but to reach the 40% figure.
Well, I was just saying maintain approximately 40%.
Yes, I think so.
That's of the public sector support.
That's of the public sector support. Of the 20%. 40% of the 20%. That's one thing you have to keep in mind when we're talking about this in terms of the total dollars.
And put it approximately in there too, so that we don't get hedged in.
We're not requiring anybody to have it. We're just encouraging local support.
The question that comes to my mind then, what about the governmental units that do not presently have any kind of law on the books that dedicates a certain amount of property taxes to support of the arts? What happens when these governmental units flatly refuse, or there's no progress made in getting property tax monies, because that's where it's got to come from, for support of the arts? Then what? I mean, we can recommend, but what's going to be the practical effect?
Well, it won't prohibit them from receiving state funds. It means they just have to make up that money elsewhere.
They can do it in the private sector.
It doesn't prohibit them from, receiving state aid, state support of the arts.
That's been the purpose of my question. I'm happy to support a motion to encourage that the local funding remain at the 40% level, and we'll vote for that. I just want it clearly understood by all the members that's very different from saying that if you don't come up with that local money, you don't get any state money.
I don't think we're saying that.
I know that. I just want it clearly understood. It wasn't, for instance, at all clear from the sentence that was left in here. It looks like just the opposite, and that's why I want it very understood that we are not penalizing those local regions. We're encouraging them to do something, but we're not penalizing them if they don't.
The private sector would have, I would view it as the private sector having to make up that shortfall.
One of the conclusions we've made from the research is that if a number of these points were to become state policy, such as local funding for the arts, that there may have to be some sort of general enabling legislation permitting counties to spend money. Forgetting for a moment the question of where they raise it for the arts. It's not clear in all counties and all states, in all parts of the state, that this is now permitted in the current statute.
So it would not be mandatory.
But it is not mandatory.
May I
May I ask that whoever made the motion, I was looking at the notes here, that that be made part of the motion?
What?
Because
that there be state
that there be
enabling legislation
permitting across the board
counties to make grants this purpose. Andy, I assume this is your motion.
That's fine.
Because otherwise I'd be very concerned. In the northern part of the state, we're seeing resistance to this very type of thing. And if it's done on a unit-by-unit basis where St. Louis or some other county has to go to the legislature for that authorization, it might not happen.
I think that would be fine.
I think one other thing you have to consider, if the legislature sees the word encourage, how is the legislature going to do that? One of the ways might be to mandate that the local organization does provide the money. So I think you also have to put in here, if you do not mean that, that you do not mean that. Because I think there's a good chance the legislature would do it that way.
I would assume in the notes of our meeting that would be made quite clear that we're not requiring local units of government to provide that money in order for the arts organizations within those units to qualify for state aid. I would assume that would be
encouraged but do not mandate.
Yes.
There's the form of a motion. Is there a second?
I need the language on the enabling legislation.
What do you have?
Defining that fiscal 1977 we started way back with that we're working into it that there's 40% is provided currently, and although it's increasing, that based on inflation it will decline 34.6%, and that therefore the public policy encourage local governments to maintain approximately 40% of public sector involvement, and the amendment
encourage but not mandate.
That's right.
And that
there be enabling legislation
to permit
statewide enabling legislation to permit counties
or local units of government
to make grants to nonprofit arts organizations.
Steve, can't they just do that out of their budget? Isn't it they have to get appropriation to raise the mill levy to special tax?
No,
they have to do it this way.
They do not have authority.
Yeah, without permission.
We have an opinion from the Attorney General's office on that. Mm-hmm. All right, we have that in the form of motion. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Crosby. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Duff,
I'm going to vote against this, and I'm going to say why. I want to say kind of two things. Number one, I think our approach here has not been logical for this reason. It seemed to me the sensible thing to do would be to try and think out what is a proper state function in taxpayer support of the arts, and what is a proper local community function in taxpayer support of the arts. I can expand on that, but because it seemed to me some things are sort of naturally define themselves as being a state function. Other things define themselves, and I think of the basic things of keeping the doors open, paying the light bill and the heat bill and so on at a local institution as being a community responsibility. But we haven't tried to define what is a state responsibility and what is a community responsibility. We're just going on a numbers basis and picking some percentages out of the air. Okay, now the second thing I want to say is David referred to a rural Minnesotan, and I want to speak as a rural, or in the way I think a rural Minnesotan would speak for a moment. And he talked about the practical difficulty of getting money from the Minneapolis City Council and the Hennepin County Board to keep these excellent institutions in Minneapolis going. Well, what is a rural Minnesotan going to say? He's going to say, you're telling me that that you can't get this money from the elected representatives of the people of Minneapolis and the people of Hennepin County, that they don't want to be taxed.
to support these institutions. So you're coming out to tax me, who live 100 or 200 or 300 miles away. Well, I would say if the people that live right next door don't want to pay taxes for these purposes, why are you coming to me? And life is hard, and sometimes you have to do a sales job to get money, but if something is essentially a local community responsibility, it ought to be faced up to at the local community governmental level.
Let me just respond to that. I wouldn't suggest that. If that were the case, then I would be in full agreement with you. I would say this, that I don't think any community, be it in the Twin Cities or any other part of the state, is likely to use property taxes, which are an inequitable tax, to pay for arts facilities, whether it's in Maurer County or Hennepin County. I think that it is reasonable to say, let us, and since counties, at least the county that I live in, can only rely on property taxes to raise money, I think it's fair to say that they're not going to do that. But I think that it is reasonable to say, let us use other sources of financing, say an increase in the cigarette tax or liquor tax or something of that nature, a non-property tax source. It isn't that the elected representatives of Minneapolis or Albert Lee are unwilling to spend money. They're unwilling to spend property tax money. And I think that's a big difference. And I say let them, it is only the state. It's not a question of taking money from people in rural Minnesota to pay for something for the Twin City. If that's what the case was, I'd be as against it as you. I think it's a question of taking those kinds of revenues that only the state can levy and that no local group can, say a liquor tax, and use that to help the arts, not just in the Twin Cities, but specifically in rural Minnesota as well, which I understood the plan called for. And that's my position.
Well, Mr. Chairman, there's nothing that says that the legislature can't make non-property tax methods available to local government if it will choose to do so. And the fact is that you can run down the property tax all you want, but relatively in Minnesota is very low in property tax compared to most other states in the union. And every community is taxing its property to pay the light bills and pay the janitor and pay the heat bill and the city hall and in the courthouse. And if they choose to do it in the local art institute, there's no reason why they can't, why it isn't just as rational. And the point is, when you really get down to it, is that there isn't really any money in the state that there isn't in the sum total of all the communities of the state. There isn't some magic that just produces money. All of Minnesota has no more money than all the money if you add up in all the communities of the state. So if something is logically and rationally a local community responsibility, why don't we let it be financed locally and on the community level and to the degree and the level and extent that the people who are there paying for it want it to be financed?
I think if I were speaking to your rural Minnesotan, I think I would say that these are state resources that we're talking about, much the same way as the University of Minnesota is a state resource. Admittedly, it has campuses in outstate areas, but following your rationale, if you happen to live next door to the Guthrie Theater, you would pay more than a person living 10 miles away, etc. And I think that many of the cultural resources and the aura that all of the cultural institutions give is really a state resource. And I think that it's not unfair to ask that it be supported on a statewide basis.
Well, I guess what I'd like to do is call a question, bring this to a head so we can get on. I would like to suggest, however, that this may be an area where we can do fruitfully a little more discussion or a suggestion of some alternatives to include in the report. I believe there may be a fundamental problem with one of the points made, namely if there is a vehicle whereby the local governments can tax other than the property tax, that would be encouraged and acceptable. There may be state policy which prevents state decision that other sources of revenue are going to be protected for a statewide purpose and not permitted local municipalities as a tax source. That's something that I have no knowledge on, and I think is somewhat beyond the scope of the commission. To the extent that is possible, that addresses your question. I think the second point of the question, the second area to distinguish, is whether in fact you, Mr. Duff, would accept a distinction between statewide resources as justifying some sort of statewide support and local resources which should be funded locally. And I think those points possibly should be looked at with perhaps you gentlemen making some recommendations specifically to the commission to consider at its next meeting as a modification of this, if this proposal is approved. Is there any further discussion of the motion? Here's the motion.
It's finding this commission that fiscal 1977, at least 40% of public sector support was provided by outstate. Although increasing, this figure is based on inflation and will decline to 34.6% by 1984. It is therefore therefore recommended that public policy encourage, not mandate, local government to maintain approximately 40% of public sector involvement, and that there be enabling legislation to permit counties or local governments to make and grant to make grants to local arts organizations.
First outstate should be local.
Gotcha.
It doesn't mention property tax there at all.
No, there's not.
You had non-profit in your, I don't know if that's important. It's not, Steve, in your initial thoughts.
So local non-profit arts organizations. Is that what you want to?
Yes.
Okay.
We refer to as primary arts organizations or non-profit arts organizations. All right. All those in favor of the question, raise your hands. All those opposed? All right. I believe that takes us through the public sector committee report and recommendations. I think the next item we should try to consider is the recommendation of the Joint Public and Private Sector Committee as to the delivery system. David, do you want to just review that very quickly in terms of what the committee discussed and its recommendation to the full commission?
Well, that's the double-spaced document entitled Proposed Delivery System. It's still in draft form, so the wording is not the final wording, and none of it at this point is Linda, so it'll look much better when it's all done. But don't spend a lot of time criticizing the way it's presented. What is presented here, though, is a rationale for a state arts plan, which would be the responsibility of the state arts board, with a regional arts component, which would be the responsibility either of regional arts councils where they are in existence, or the state arts board utilizing their current regional arts task forces. It describes the components, if you will, of that plan. It classifies the arts, or suggests that the arts be classified into at least 8 functional categories. Suggests that the components of the plan include state arts resources, regional arts resources, individual artists, arts development, and a role for what, for want of a better phrase we call ancillary arts agencies, in which the state arts plan would describe the role of education, the role of community organizations such as parks and recreation, libraries, and so forth. Suggests that the system be as basically private in its structure as possible, but that its process be totally public, that the State Arts Council or State Arts Board should seek to develop regional arts councils in as many regions of the state as the citizens of the state desire there be regional arts councils, that where possible those councils be on a non-profit model, failing that, that they be either the Regional Development Commission in a particular region or an advisory board to a Regional Development Commission. And then speaks to a delivery system, which is identified in this report as nonprofits, arts organizations, community organizations, educational institutions, for-profit arts organizations, the media, individual artists, and arts facilities. Speaks to ranking of the components by classification and by priority within each classification. Speaks to goal setting and the usual thing you do in a planning process. Talks about planning and administration, development of information, research, the grant making function, citizen involvement, lobbying, and interaction with the private sector as important elements in the planning and administrative process. Basically, what this is supposed to do is, number one, guarantee that financing of the arts remains basically a private as opposed to a governmental function, but that there is a role for government through financing and through a planning process to achieve what are basically public objectives at a local, regional, or state level. It's designed as a guide to private contributors who want to measure their contributions against specific goals and objectives and needs of the community. And I suppose that you could add a few other things that something like this could be, but it's a result of months of meetings and talking to people on in both the public and the private sector. And if I were to say which of those two the strongest recommendations come from, I'd say it would be the private sector, and in particular corporate and foundation givers, who have recommended to us in meetings of the private sector subcommittee, for example, that if we do nothing else in this work of this commission, that we do something about a planning process that people can go to and to assist them in making their judgments about where to invest their money in the arts. In May of this year, the State Arts Board put together a statewide planning committee or task force to do much the same sort of thing, to establish a state regional planning process, and they have been meeting every two or three or four weeks, something like that, since May, and are about to make or have made their recommendations to the State Arts Board to implement a system like this. And we can find very little difference between this proposed delivery system and the kind of process that the task force is recommending to the State Arts Board. That task force is made up, I believe, of two representatives from each of the 13 regions in the state, together with a couple people who were, three people, I guess, who were advisors also to this commission: Mary Louise Dudding from the State Planning Agency, Rich Deathmers from the State Planning Agency, Ray Bosey, who was here earlier from the Metropolitan Council, who has the responsibility for putting together the Arts Advisory Task Force to the Metropolitan Council. And the process of developing this recommendation has been parallel with the process that's going on in the State Arts Board. And as I say, there seems to be general agreement that, number one, this is needed, and that basically this kind of an outline is of a system is the way that Minnesota ought to be going. A lot of the questions about how much money should go to the so-called majors, how much money goes to local government, where it comes from, whether there ought to be matching, whether that matching ought to be 50%, 90%, 10%, whatever. A lot of those questions we felt it would take us forever as a commission to address. But that a planning process like this, if it were in effect right now by September of next year, could come up with recommendations for financing the arts, not only at the nonprofit category that we've been talking about all afternoon, but in education and community organization. And that's why we've been somewhat reluctant to bring to you very specific recommendations that you ought to define major arts organizations and that the state ought to put this much in and the local government ought to put that much in, because we believe, or at least I believe, that this kind of a process ought to develop those specific recommendations. That what we have done earlier today really was to put some general parameters based on history and what's going on in the rest of the country, some general parameters around earned income, around the private sector contributions, and around local, state, and federal grant-making process, and then let a process like this suggest specifically for state arts resources, for regional arts resources, for individual artists, for education, for the media, for whatever other delivery systems there are, and components of this plan, how much of this ought to be federal money and whether that ought to be matched with state money and whether that ought to be matched with local money, and lots of those specifics. We just didn't feel that this commission's process, this was the charge of this commission, that our basic charge was to say where the arts were at, where they were going in the future, what it was going to cost to keep up the same standard we have now on into the future, and to come up with some kind of a system to make sure that these goals and objectives were achieved. So this is an outline of that system, and this is our recommendation, that this be the recommendation of the commission to be adopted.
That recommendation comes to you with the unanimous support of the combined subcommittees. Is there any discussion of the concept?
I have a question. It might sound as trivial and a mundane one, but it's a very important one. Supposing a region is organized an arts council. Now they have all these people that are sort of eager to move on, but they have no money to buy the paper, to put the notices in the newspaper, to make announcements, and to make other members know of the meeting place. Maybe you have experience with it in your regions. Right at that very crucial point at the beginning, where does the money come from? Because the Regional Arts Council, in its very rudimentary stage right now, does not have any money at all, and people have been doing this on a volunteer basis, but then you can't go on forever. Is there a plan, or do you sort of fumble on until something comes along?
This contemplates that the state, it'll be a responsibility of the State Arts Board to see that regional councils are put together in some form or another in as many regions of the state as the people interested in the arts around this state want there to be regional councils.
So that's
they will also have the obligation then to work with those people to develop a financing mechanism, whether it's a combination of state funds with private contributions or local government monies will depend on how the process evolves. And it may differ from region to region. There may be some region where the Regional Development Commission can loan a person on a part-time basis to do it. There may be another where you're starting absolutely from scratch because you don't want to have anything to do with the Regional Development Commission because it's such a mishmash. And in that case, it may be possible to secure 50% of state monies and a private grant someplace for 2 years to get the thing going.
What type of thing are you referring to?
Just the administrative costs, Tom. You know, it's like setting up an office, having a mimeograph machine, you know, notifying these people and having a place to meet. And, you know, all this costs money. And like I say, it sounds very trivial, but I think it is very important so you can at least have the equipment to work with. If you are going to send about 50 letters out, you have to have postage for it. And on a, you know, they've been doing it up till now on a strictly voluntary basis, but I'm just wondering, is there some kind of a provision or some kind of a future plan that this particular organization is just evolving now will be having some money that they could rely on?
Well, is there anything now, Mr. Plum, preventing a regional governmental unit from doing this type of service for any nonprofit governmental thing? Well, not necessarily governmental, but anything of this type. I mean, I wouldn't hesitate in our own district to call on Region 5 to do mimeographing of this type and so forth, and I think they would do it.
Same thing's being done here with the Metropolitan Council in this region.
Call on the regional office?
Yeah, well, I don't know who your regional chairman is up there for this area, but whoever it is.
Well, it's been done.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, then he has Sherry's secretary with us, and he doesn't really like that.
I think the short answer to your question is they can make services available. A governmental unit in the
Regional
Development Council.
Okay.
Or the counties can make services available, or the municipalities can make services available.
Absolutely.
I believe there is no statutory basis yet for them to grant monies, but that would come. That would have to become.
It also contemplates, I think, some direct funds from the State Arts Board also for startup costs. Am I correct in that assumption?
That's
initial capitalization, if you will, of the...
That's what I wanted to know, if there's such thing that one could apply, at least for the very beginning.
Yes.
Where you need...
I believe I'm correct.
It suggests that the State Arts Board send staff to the region to start up.
Yeah. That's what
I wanted. Mr. Chairman, Dave, a question? Dave, do you contemplate that in Region 10, southeastern Minnesota, that there'd be a regional body that would divide a certain amount of money between, say, a chamber orchestra in Red Wing and a symphony orchestra in Rochester and a choral society in Albert Lea?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what's contemplated by this, and it'd be SEMRAC that would do it, apparently under the present setup.
What exactly would be their sort of rationale for how would they divide it? Would they do a kind of a population basis of the towns, or they're
going to decide that
artistic quality, or
in a combination of all those, they're going to decide between now and let's say next September 1, they're going to go through a planning process for what the needs are in Region 10 and how best to meet them. And they'll take all the arts, divide them into the eight classifications of the arts, use the information that we've developed already on all the arts organizations in the area, and working with that and with citizen involvement from the whole region, they'll develop a plan for meeting the needs of the arts in that region. And it eventually then contemplates that part of the state money will go in a block grant to Region 10 to be spent according to that Region 10's plan for the arts.
I'm not a I'm not an artist or an arts person or anything, but just looking at American history, have arts flourished in America because over a unit of a chunk of the country that extends from Red Wing to Albert Lea, you've set up a group of citizens who made a plan about what the arts needs are of all these communities, and then they've distributed some state money to do it?
Of course not. We're only talking here about 5% of the total money that's being spent on the arts in your region, as far as the public monies are concerned, or the state monies, if you will.
I just don't see how exactly you weigh the claims of a little chamber orchestra in Red Wing versus a kind of a big community chorus in Albert Lea. How do you say one should have so much dollars and the other have so much dollars?
I guess you do it the same way Walter Prosnitz and Steve Sell and the rest of the members of the State Arts Board and Tom O'Brien, when he was on the State Arts Council, do it now, except it's going to be done a little bit closer to Albert Lea, Rochester, Winona, and Red Wing than this place over here in Minneapolis where the State Arts Board makes the decision.
Instead of having a state agency tell you how to spend your money in Region 10, you'd have the people of Region 10 deciding how the money allocated to that region will be spent. But an attempt to localize the distribution of any state aid, bring it a little bit closer to the people of that region. And I would think every region would be different in the criteria, or at least how they allocate their money.
I can see how that's kind of an appealing theory, maybe, if you live in the Twin Cities, but in fact, if you live in Winona and you're trying to get money for your arts group, it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference whether you've got to go over to drive over to Rochester and appeal to this board sitting in Rochester, or do you drive to St. Paul and appeal to a board sitting in St. Paul?
Well, we've heard it in the public sector subcommittee meetings that a great complaint of people outside the Twin City area is the fact that they're so dependent on decisions from the State Arts Board. They'd rather have local control of how the money for their region, for their arts organizations, are going to be spent. And they feel that they're better able to make those decisions in, say, a Region 10 or a Region 8 than coming here to the Twin Cities and trying to get a piece of the pie. There would be funds available to each region automatically. And it would be up to the people in those regions to distribute. And that was one of the things that influenced this report is the input that we received from out-state people involved in the arts.
That was most emphatically made as a point.
Very clear.
All over the state.
All over the state.
Well, I guess I'm just baffled how exactly you weigh the needs for Wadena to have an art center versus Thief River Falls to have a chamber orchestra.
I don't know how it works either, because I'm no more an artist than you are.
Well,
it works.
Maybe one example could be in St. Cloud, perhaps Foley, 15 miles away, is applying for a grant to do something. The people on the state level say, Foley, let's see, isn't that near St. Cloud someplace? Why can't they take advantage of the resources in St. Cloud? And not really knowing the situation in Foley. If it's on a regional basis and we're meeting in Elk River or St. Cloud, we say, boy, they really do need that out in Foley, because there are more people from Foley who are involved on the regional level. And they can say, we really need the orchestra to come here. We want to involve our Foley people rather than everybody from Foley driving to St. Cloud to see the Minnesota Orchestra or whatever. It's just, I think, a much better system to bring it closer to the people instead.
Well, did they indicate that the Arts Council wasn't doing this? Because certainly in the years that I was on it, I thought they did an excellent job, not because I was on it, but I thought under Mr. Meyer's secretaryship or directorship that they were doing a tremendous job of getting to the small areas as well as the large.
I think the criticism has been the
feeling that as years have gone by, people who are locally concerned wanted to have far greater input in the decisions that affect that particular area and not have that exclusively mandated from a single board, wherever it sat, but it happened to sit in St. Paul, covering the entire state and the problems that which it had to consider at a statewide level. The feeling was that they simply did not have enough time and input in the decision making which affected that particular area.
Well, I agree, Mr. Bond, that might be the case, but in my memory, the facts of the matter were that some very small towns got some very, very good results because they had somebody in that town who had a lot of push. You take the town of Staples. I bet if you were to look at the records of what Staples has received compared to the rest of the state, you'd just be amazed. It's because of Dr. Lund in Staples. Go to Park Rapids and you have rum up there. And Park Rapids, it depends upon the local community's enthusiasm and how they are, how they present their case. And if you've got competent people to present your case, it would have been heard.
I think there was another expression also that there was, maybe it wasn't stated as such, but I'll state it very bluntly. There was a fear that many of your major arts organizations, the Twin City arts organizations, would receive a disproportionate amount of the funds available for state aid, and there was a feeling that the money should be made available to the regions on a population or whatever, on a different kind of basis, so it would be guaranteed that monies would find way into the various regions of the state to be spent.
But to some of us, Mr. Andrews, unless the excellence of what we have in the state, mostly centered in Minneapolis and St. Paul, is continued and kept up, the whole state will suffer from it. If it is dropped.
There's no question.
There's no question about that. The state arts board was...
What Andy Andrews is referring to is that when the proposals for increased state funding got to the legislature in last session, and in fact the last few years, one of the major, I won't say criticisms, but one of the control devices that legislators wanted, particularly out-state legislators, that they'd insist upon seeing in the mechanism, was, and they were perfectly prepared as part of a political compromise to make sure that there was adequate funding for what was then called, and is currently called in the state arts program, obviously political compromise of dividing the money more or less along the population lines and so on. And I think it was that was a reflection, again, of the sentiment that there is full support throughout the state for a statewide attempt to support clearly statewide institutions of quality and merit, which are the top of the pyramid, if you will, in terms of artistic excellence and reputation of this state in the arts. There has been the request, demand, pressure, whatever, that there be equal recognition of and support for regionalism and money under local control. The attempt under this plan is to provide statewide policy and planning and standards and control, provide money which would be available for statewide resources, but also provide money which could, when an area qualified, reach the criterion spelled out in the statewide plan, make its own grants within that framework. Not that that's the exclusive money available for that area, but that portion of it would be reserved for local decision making. Did I overstate the case in that? All right, is there further discussion on the plan?
Just, I suppose, to Phil's point, I don't think this mandates that there's got to be a regional council in every single region of the state by such and such a date.
Okay.
The important part of this plan is that it has regional components in a state plan, because it realizes or recognizes that not every region of the state is the same. The people are different, their socioeconomic background is different, their interpretation of what's art, you know, will differ. Their capacity to support the arts out of their own pocketbooks or from private contributions will differ. And the important thing is that in a state plan, we recognize that there are some differences around the state and that the plan itself should have a regional component for local arts. Now, whether you want the decision-making on state dollars or whatever, or the decision-making on what that plan ought to be in the hands of a SEMRAC or the State Arts Board with an advisory task force out of the region, we are not making a decision on that. We're suggesting we move towards councils like SEMRAC all over the state. But if any region says, hell, I'd rather have the State Arts Board making the decision just so we have some people that can go up and sit on a committee in St. Paul and advise them about what ought to be in our regional plan or our regional components, well, you can do it that way.
Jimmy points out that as part of the current funding legislation, the 55% must be spent in the non-metropolitan area. There's already that mandate engrafted on, and there's a restriction upon the authority of the State Arts Board in expenditures. This is an attempt to try and have a more rationally worked out system which will meet those needs, those pressure points, than simply arbitrarily deciding X dollars per region or whatever.
Well, Mr. Plum, if they did get X town fully, for instance, $3,500 to have the Minnesota Symphony, would that be considered as to the Minnesota Symphony or to Foley?
We have not attempted to address that question. And I think that that's a matter of administrative policy that I'm not sure that we're equipped at this type of mission level to handle. I would hope that that's the type of question the State Arts Board could evolve a policy on as part of the statewide policy process. Should that be considered local funds? Should that be considered state funds? Should both participate in that decision making? Should one have control over it or whatever? And I think that's something that the system ought to work itself out to. And I can think there probably are hundreds of questions like that. That when you get below the broad policy questions, which we can come to grips with, or the legislation can propose, or can mandate, it will then be up to the administrative agency to address them on a issue-by-issue basis, and hopefully develop standards over a period of time, which will allow that to be more routinely handled than on a one-shot basis. Are there other discussions of the delivery system? That comes to the full commission again as a recommendation of the joint public and private sector subcommittees. I believe it's appropriate for us to act upon it as a major recommendation of the commission. You've heard it outlined as it appears in the memorandum, subject to being further edited as part of our writing the final report, if you shall adopt it. Are you ready to consider this as a motion?
Have you got a motion?
Yeah, that's what are we for? We're voting on specifically, I guess that's... Because we have your proposed delivery system here, but that's not really...
Read the public sector motion, Michael.
Motion was stated that the Joint Subcommittee adopt proposed regional concept as presented in the Derenberger Memorandum and discussed in previous public sector meetings, a language subject to revision.
So, it's the problem. In the minutes it said regional concept. It's the proposed delivery system as described in the Derenberger Memorandum. The motion would be, do we recommend the proposed delivery system as outlined, which is to the creation of a statewide plan and the organization to administer it.
I'll offer that.
It's moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor? And Opposed? Not voting. All right, next.
Steve, may I make a suggestion?
What?
And maybe you're doing this, but when this is reworked, I wonder if the proposed delivery system on the front page shouldn't outline 1, 2, 3, 4 precisely what, and then the rest is sort of backup.
We have, I think, one, possibly two more items. The next is the recommendation of the, came through the joint meeting of the public and private sector subcommittees, but it was included in a memorandum to the private sector committee by Jimmy Powell as to the conclusions on the trend study model as to what was happening in the private sector. Do we have a copy of that?
With the chair.
I have got it. Here.
Yeah,
here. The memorandum was sort of a report to the private sector subcommittee from the trend model. And the joint subcommittee meeting made no recommendations or they simply acknowledged the finding, I guess you might say.
I think that the recommendation was that the finding be highlighted in the final report. The recommendation, or the, it's not a recommendation, the finding is one that I think is extremely serious to the arts industry generally in terms of private sector support. Let me read you the 2 points which were outlined in the memorandum. Between 1969 and 1975, private contributions to operating budgets declined as a percentage of total operating income from 36.6% to 25.8%. A careful analysis of the remaining income system suggests there is no other source which can be expected to make up the difference should private sector support move to a lower level. At its October 1 meeting, the Commission recommended a 25% standard as a level to which private sector should remain through 1984. Total income for to all sources, operating, facility, and endowment, in actual dollars from the private sector leveled off during the period 1972-1975 at approximately $12 million. By 1984, the operating need at a 25% standard will require $11.2 million from the private sector. This leaves no additional monies for facilities and endowment, the income for which totaled $6.6 million in 1975. That means that unless new sources of support can be developed in the private sector by the arts organizations soliciting funds, the problem is obviously far more severe at the largest organizations, but it reflects itself through the system. The total private dollars are not increasing at the rate of inflation, at the rate at which the whole system is growing. They are increasing in dollars, but they're not increasing in percentage, in an amount equal to their percentage growth. Unless a new source of funding is discovered or evolved, which really means broadening the base significantly, and we know from the other work done by the private sector subcommittee and the staff research that the giving base is still very narrow, very highly concentrated, that there is simply not enough money in the system to simultaneously support annual giving and in capital and endowment funds and campaigns. The committee, I think, recognized that even if it were to recommend there be no such thing as capital fund drives, endowment fund drives, new building campaigns, that advice would not necessarily be heeded
by the private sector and the community at large. And I think the discussion in the committee also was to the point that recognizing the state's role is extremely small in the total dollars generated, and recognizing that we want to preserve, if you will, the marketplace as the decision maker as to what organization is going to succeed and fail, and the need for private entrepreneurial spirit in developing new art forms, new organizations, that we do not want to have the dead hand of a state administrative structure, whether it's the state of Minnesota or a government, saying that a particular organization should or should not indulge in such a program. Nevertheless, I think it was the feeling of the subcommittee that the commission should emphasize the seriousness of the problem and the fact that if it is not addressed, there simply will not be enough money in the system to provide both. I think it was a further suggestion for the full commission to consider in his report that to the extent the arts organizations wish to have public funding, major public monies, and perhaps the level of that is something that should be evolved by the state arts board or other agencies. But to the extent that the public will be asked ultimately to subsidize a new organization or a new facility, that there ought to be some sort of public review process, public analysis that there would be adequate, that there was an adequate need for that facility and adequate support for that facility, so that it wouldn't become a public burden on top of the system which was already in place, that there would be no requirement for that type of public review process on an organization or on an institution, but that to the extent that institution looked to major public funding as a means of supporting it, that part of the review process be incorporated in the grant-making process. The latter was in the form of a just general discussion by the subcommittee. The former, I think, comes as a recommendation to the full commission that the report emphasize the problem that appears in the figures, that private sector dollars are not increasing along with the growth in the system, and that special effort will have to be made to keep it at a 25% level. And furthermore, the implication of that in terms of capital fund drives of whatever type to the system. And then it's a point for further discussion as to whether the commission makes any recommendations on grant making. I'd like to approach those as two separate questions. Is there any dissent from the proposition that we make as a major finding of the commission those findings of the trend study and staff research regarding the static nature of private sector giving?
To clarify that, you're asking us to find this matter of fact, everything in Jimmy's the first page of his first page of his memorandum, the first paragraph 1 and 2. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Incorporating the tables which are accompanying the memorandum.
The two paragraphs which I read to the commission. Is there any objection to that as a major conclusion of the commission?
I'll move it be approved.
Second.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Do you wish to consider as a recommendation the second point,
Could you just restate that second point now, kind of simply?
Let me read what you wrote. Say it over.
I'll try and say it briefly. Recognizing the shortfall in the system, an organization remains free to sponsor a new fund drive or a new capital, either endowment or capital fund program. Recognizing, however, that it takes approximately $17 on a 6% yield factor to produce every dollar in income in an endowment program, or if the money went into endowment as opposed to annual giving, or if the money is to go out of the system entirely and go into a building, that type of capital leaving the system as opposed to going into annual income is going to mean there's going to be that much less income in the system, that any organization which anticipates receiving substantial state subsidy in the future, either for the organization itself or for the maintenance of that particular facility, receive or participate in some sort of public review process, probably administered by the State Arts Board, to determine the need for the facility and the ability of the organization or the community to finance it, to sustain it, without additional public monies.
What do you mean by substantial?
That is would have to be defined. I don't think we can say X percentage today.
So you're talking about a new facility or a substantial enlargement of an existing facility.
You're also talking concepts only, I take it here. You're not talking questions of how large or what happens to existing
correct.
Drives or all sorts of
That's
technical
correct.
Questions.
This would merely be a broad policy recommendation.
And only pertains to state support.
State support.
So what you'd be saying, in effect, I can make these things, visualize them a little more concrete. The people in St. Cloud, they're terribly enthusiastic about this community theater they've had, and they decide we're going to raise a chunk of capital and build ourselves a permanent theater and have some endowment to support it. You're just putting them on notice that if you people ever expect some state support, ongoing state support in the future, you better come to the state agency before you undertake this and get our advice about it.
Well,
which is maybe
it's very common. United Way has pretty practiced
yeah.
a system of doing this. I mean, not only here in the Twin Cities, but nationally, that's the concept. And I don't know whether the St. Paul Council has a capital approval process, but even a lot of cities do in the arts. You know, Minneapolis is almost unique in not having that kind of clearance for it.
I think the problem that this recommendation highlights is historically these organizations have gotten started, or an institution has been built, by the enthusiasm and dedication of a relatively small number of people. And that historically has been more than enough to get something established and carry itself very successfully. The problem is that we can see from now on, at least as far out as we can look, which is a very short period of time, that the system, the number of people, the number of organizations contributing to the arts generally, is limited in number, and there does not seem to be enough dollars going into the system to take care of its growth, its existing growth, let alone a new institution or facility. That's not to say that something cannot come along which is going to be able to justify itself and be able to establish and prove to its satisfaction its ability to finance itself. But to the extent that individual initiative and enthusiasm is ultimately going to end up in the public burden, the public should have some say as to whether it is going to recognize its need to support it.
Well,
in advance of it being built.
There's nothing to say that my friends in St. Cloud, if they're that determined, can't go ahead and
nothing
do this.
That's right.
They've
That's
just
right.
been put on notice.
Put on notice.
That if you want to do it, you may not find you have any valid claim in the future for any public taxpayer support.
Yeah, that's
really what it is.
I think that's reasonable.
Who would flesh out this concept? I mean, I take it wouldn't be this commission. Who would have the jurisdiction over rules, regulations, clearances, that type of thing? Or aren't we going to say that here? We're just going to have a finding that that ought to be there.
I think the finding would be that there ought to be a public review process. The appropriate vehicle at the moment would appear to be the State Arts Board. I think how it happens depends on how the State Arts Board evolves in the future with regional councils and so on.
Well, why don't we, I'll move that concept if you're looking for a resolution.
I'll support.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Mr. Plum, in your studies, have you done anything about considering what could be done to increase the earned income?
Let's
keep on the
agenda. Jimmy?
Yes. Have we had a copy of that?
No.
Okay.
You will.
That's all right.
There'll be a section in the report on earned income and discussion of what sources are going to be on, what you can expect. And you get it soon.
What else do we have left to do?
I guess the conclusion we have here is that we've really addressed the main policy questions. And we will be bringing some more reports to you within the next 2-week period, hopefully to resolve the other areas before the commission. Remember, a great portion of the commission report is in the form of research and information which is very helpful to a series of organizations, but are not necessarily in the form of major conclusions of the commission. Is there anything else that we should be...
Community organizations, are you not going to do that?
Community organizations and needs of artists.
I'm sorry, we should make two quick... Not necessarily quick. We have two further recommendations to the commission. The first is community organizations, and I think we should be able to handle that fairly quickly. The recommendation to the Commission on Community Organizations is basically that the role of the State Arts Board be expanded to include grants and ability to assist not only the arts organizations themselves, but recipient organizations, organizations which can contract for and do contract for arts services now. The broadening of the scope would also put the State Arts Board in the position of being able to help coordinate information as to what organizations are available, when and where, for what price, and help expedite the flow of information. There are two major areas. One is the educational system generally, which is a tremendous user of arts services already. The second is community-based organizations, libraries, parks, community centers, and so on, all of whom use or are capable of using art services, many of whom would be very interested in serving as a contractor for art services, not in becoming a major or primary arts organization themselves. And the suggestion is that this is a logical area where the state funds, which are already available, should be made by simply broadening the Enabling Act available to these organizations, particularly in areas where there may not be that much by way of local arts organizations. If these organizations are empowered to receive state money to contract to bring Duluth Players, for example, the Minnesota Orchestra, the Fargo-Moorhead Orchestra to their community, we would be
expanding the role that the arts can play in individual communities without, and simply making it available to a far broader base than is currently the pattern. Is that pretty much the recommendation?
Steve, it would also be for special projects that they wanted to undertake themselves. And the State Arts Board can also do this. The recommendation is really for more significant financing.
Specifically, what would you be referring to?
Well, in many out-state areas, there are no arts organizations which can provide art services, mm-hmm. but instead they're provided by libraries through classes or lectures. Many of them sponsor dance touring programs throughout the out-state. This is, I think, particularly important for out-state. Unfortunately, in our sampling, we show as much sponsorship by Twin Cities, or not as significantly greater or lesser sponsoring of arts organizations activities by Twin Cities community organizations by out-state. Wasn't that true, Jimmy?
I think we
looked down the breakdown to find out who was doing the main sponsoring.
But if this was done, then how would that work? This town that doesn't have any organization.
It's the library and some nonprofit organization, some either from the Twin Cities or from a larger city in its region, etc., would go to the State Arts Board together and say that we as a library will do the marketing of this particular touring program, this particular dance performance. We will market it, we will tell the community about it, we will provide the facility. And this dance company, which is currently a nonprofit organization in Minnesota, will provide the program, will do the performance. And we need X amount of dollars to do that, and jointly give us the money to...
Or in the case, too, Jimmy, where some have special projects, the State Arts Board can already give it directly to community organizations for undertaking special projects by themselves.
Yes, they can. That's why I'm a little bit confused.
Yes, that's why. It's really for a significant financial increase.
This is what I thought you meant, but I didn't understand.
Yes.
I think that should be stated, because I think most of these organizations get the grant outlines and all this from the State Arts Board.
Most of the organizations don't know that they can currently qualify for State Arts Board money. When you ask these community organizations, can you qualify for State Arts Board money, they say no, or I don't know. And we ought to, as part of our recommendations and part of our report to the community, say that the State Arts Board ought to be doing this, I think, and thereby inform the community organizations that they can receive money in that way. And we're not asking the State Arts Board to do a whole lot more than they're currently doing, just recognizing.
This is what may be confused.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
This would go through the regional delivery system.
Correct.
Okay.
Are you prepared for a motion on that? Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. One last point. You have received the recommendations of the subcommittee on ours needs. The subcommittee, after having interviewed a large number of artists, and have interviewed, I believe, in depth 26 artists from all over the state and all media, found a remarkable concurrence as to the major need, which is basically time and the ability to work in their profession. To perfect themselves beyond what they the press that they find in terms of simply supporting themselves by their paying job. And the recommendation of the subcommittee is that we can, as a state, for a very modest amount of money compared to what we're talking about in terms of total state aid, make a tremendous difference in the artists in terms of their ability to progress in their own careers, their ability to obtain recognition, and therefore better employment, by having a program of state fellowships, very limited in number, and therefore all the more prestigious, for a dollar amount, at least a few of them, and the number we would have to discuss and have in the form of a formal recommendation. But at the moment is simply in the form of a concept to the commission, of a limited number of fellowships which would give to the artist possibly 1 year's support to work in his profession, not necessarily to be granted every year to an artist, not necessarily more than one a year, but to add a major boost in terms of his prestige, reputation, and therefore career development. The feeling of the subcommittee is that a program of this type with which would cost very little in terms of total dollars, would have a tremendous impact on the arts community in Minnesota. The first part was to have a Minnesota fellowship of a very limited number. The second part was to have a limited number, but more than the fellowships, of project grants, a particular grant, which would be far less in dollar amount than the fellowship. And the third was to have an even smaller dollar amount, but program whereby an existing artist and a student could apply to the Arts Board for funds, whereby that artist could take on the student as an apprentice for a limited period of time and also help in the student's development. That came to in the form of recommendations from the Subcommittee on Artist Needs to the Commission, and is proposed as findings and conclusions in the final report. Is there any discussion?
I think it's a terribly significant proposal. If we get it on the floor, I'll move adoption of the concept.
I'll second.
I'd like to ask Dick a question, I guess. Somewhere several months ago, this came up, and I think it was Public Sector Committee or something, we were talking about this, and I can't remember why we thought this might be better off in the private sector than the public. I can't remember that, but I just wanted to throw out the costs of administering a program like this, whether it's good public policy for the state to be funding, you know, in this form, a scholarship program. You ought to be an expert on the subject. That's, I guess, why I'm addressing the question to you. Are there other mechanisms available for administering this program? Does it have to be a state arts board program? Would it not be a challenge to a foundation such as the Bush Foundation, which has done the Bush Fellows program, other foundations that have something similar to this? Is this the best kind of recommendation that the state invests $100,000 a year or something like that in that? To set up a new scholarship program for officer scholarship.
Dave, I'm not at all sure who ought to administer or what ought to be the details of it. And I hope that this motion doesn't.
Does not address those.
Yes, doesn't address that. But I think a relatively small number of dollars, and I think it is possible even to think in some matching kind of context, which might. I think a relatively small number of dollars in the right kinds of condition is an appropriate policy position.
It would be more prestigious to get it from the State Arts Board than the Bush Foundation.
The concept of the subcommittee, which I personally hardly concur, is that this is a way that the state could put its prestige behind an individual artist. If the program is very limited in number at the top, the more limited it is, paradoxically, I think the greater the impact and the prestige. And the dollars will be very, very small in terms of return on the investment.
Why very, very small?
In terms of the dollars that we put into this, into a scholarship program, compared to still total state arts funding, is just not going to be, no matter what we do with it, close to a couple of percentages of the total budget.
Well, I have some feeling, and I don't want to prolong the discussion of the details of it, because I don't think that's the point of just addressing the concept, but I have the feeling that the state has an opportunity to demand something in return for the experience which is supplied from the fellowship in a different way than what the state could depend upon the Bush or somebody else to demand it. I guess that's the reason why I think some limited amount is an appropriate public purpose. If you structure it correctly, you get something in return at the same time the artist is benefiting from it.
David,
I think it's an excellent idea, and I think we ought to approve it. It's not competitive with private foundation giving, which also ought to be encouraged. It's just a different, there is so little public scholarship help of this type that I think it might become a very prestigeful one. Private giving can have prestige too. The Nobel Prizes are private, and they're the most prestigious award you can get. Private, but if you look at what the state can do, I think it can. I think you can make quite a name for yourself. This may well, 50 years from now, turn out to have been the most significant thing our commission did. So I would move the question.
One further question then. Would we be involved with setting up any kind of limitations on this, or are we saying that the Arts Board would, but that limitations should be set? What I'm thinking of is perhaps if we grant a fellowship to a sculptor, and unbeknownst to us, he's doing something for a library in Kansas City on commission, then the state of Minnesota has sponsored this artist to create art with our tax dollars, but it's going to leave the state with some kind of limitation that the state arts board be, that maybe it's displayed in Minnesota for a certain amount of time, or what I'm asking is, that would the arts board set up some kind of thing?
I think the details would have to be set up by the state arts board, and I think we'd be just guessing if we were to try to put them in. I think the concept is that the qualified, the recipient, be a Minnesota artist, a Minnesota resident at the time he applies. Dr. Hawk has suggested that there be some sort of qualification, perhaps the work produced in the year of absence, if that's what is granted for the fellowship, be a contribution to the state, if the work of art could be displayed in public building or something of the sort. But it may be much broader than that. It could be a poet, all kinds of things. But the concept is basically to confer distinction upon a Minnesota artist, and that in and of itself will provide tremendous stimulation of the arts community within the state. And whether a particular work of art during that what came last within the state or not, I think, is less important.
Well, there's a precedent to that, too, because they have given awards, the State Arts Council has in the past.
That's correct. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the question, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. That's
Steve,
it.
I'm sorry. One other comment. The private sector subcommittee needs your assistance in developing techniques to stimulate private giving. You've heard Jimmy indicate to you that the percentage of private giving has dropped substantially in relation to total income over the past few years. If you have any suggestions for recommendations of this commission, please contact the staff and give them to them as promptly as possible, because we do need to stimulate private giving.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen.
We have another meeting set up.